welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, one of the Campus Life pastors at our Lewis Center campus. This past Sunday, we continued in our series we're calling Taboo, where we're looking at these current controversies that need a timeless truth. The interesting thing about this series, we've been looking at these different concepts that we get attacked with these cultural headlines like sexuality or violence, and this week we looked at slavery. But we see that there's hard lines of biblical truth that we need to center our life around rather than the cultural trends. And so this issue of slavery, really the idea is, why does the Bible not condemn slavery? And why are there slaves in the Bible? And this one is a pretty easy one, I think, to answer. It's no different than if I were to write about the 1990s and early 2000s baseball era. If I wrote about it, I could write about all the different great teams and players and such, but I'd have to include the steroid era in communicating that. But it would have to be in there. It doesn't mean I condone, steroids. It's just part of the history. And that's exactly what happens when you read the Bible, that slavery has been part of history because it's been that way for as long as you can think of time. But the Bible has always been on the forefront of valuing humans above any other culture. So it just so happens that when it comes to the abolitionist movement, it was really centered in Christianity. I want to read to you just a couple of verses from the book of Philemon. Paul is writing this letter from prison, and he's writing it to a gentleman named Philemon who lives in Colossae, who he had worked with before, sharing the gospel in that town. He sent a letter to the church there, the book of Colossians, as you and I know it. But he also sent this personal letter to Philemon because Philemon was a slave owner, and one of those slaves ran off, went to find Paul in Rome, and Paul led him to the Lord. And Paul is now saying, I want you to go back, which is really interesting because it shows us that, he's not trying to upend the culture. He's not trying to, go against the law. But he's saying, look, the right thing to do is to go and ask for forgiveness, to go back to him and ask for forgiveness. And he's also asking Philemon to forgive. But here's what he says, because it's possible here that that Onesimus, who's the slave we're talking about, that it's possible that he may have taken some property. And here's what Paul says as he sends him back, verse 17. So if you consider me your partner and receive him as you would receive me, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. So here's what's happening in the letter. He's writing to Philemon, who's this wonderful Christian man. He starts the letter with all these incredible things about Philemon and all the work that they had done together, the way that he loves God and loves people. And it begs the question, then why did Philemon have a slave, right? Why is that even a thing? Well, in the Roman Empire, as many as 16 million people were slaves. That's as much as 25% of the population in the Roman Empire. It was part of the culture, much the way you and I might think about poverty today, that there's a certain percentage of the people that live in poverty. Well, that's what happened in the Roman Empire. And you became a slave a couple different ways. Either, your land was conquered by Rome, and you might be a slave that way. You might have been orphaned and then taken care of, and you would have been the property of whoever decided to take care of you. And most of the people became slaves as bond servants, that they chose to become a slave because they needed a debt paid that they couldn't pay. And it was a way for them to negotiate things, and you would become a slave. In the Roman Empire, you didn't really have that many rights as a slave. And if you had run away as a slave, you could have been killed as a penalty for running away. So for Paul to ask Onesimus to come back, he's saying, look, Philemon, Onesimus has come to me. And maybe this is why this was supposed to happen, because he was able to lead him to the Lord. And then Onesimus now, he's telling him, go back and ask for forgiveness. But he says something really interesting in those verses I read. Paul is saying, listen, Philemon, if I want you to greet him not just as a slave, but as a brother. Receive him like you would receive me. And if he owes you anything, charge it to me. And I think that's interesting because what Paul is doing there, he's saying, look, he's pleading the case of this man, and he's willing to take on, with no obligation, he's willing to take on this man's debt. And I think that's because it's natural to our faith to do that, because the foundation of our faith is centered in Christ, who was willingly, under no obligation, to take on our debt to free us from the slavery of sin and the chains that had on our life. And as a result of that, we see everyone with that same value. And we plead the case of others because that's who Christ is in us, that he cares about others. That's why you see in the abolitionist movement, so many of those people were staunch Christians who just loved Jesus, because that heart of Paul that you see there in the letter, but the heart of Christ in them, made them value others, even when they had no obligation to do so. It's part of our foundation. My hope is that this would be something in us, that we would plead the case of others by helping share the gospel to them. God, help us to be like Christ, to make us more like your son, that we would have a heart to plead the case of others, that we would willingly take on their debts and that, their burdens, if you will, in order to share the gospel with them and to care for others. Lord, we're so grateful for all that you've done in us, and we ask that in your son's name. Amen. Well, take a second before you move on to your next thing and just pray and think about the way that God has you positioned to care about others who need Christ. Well, till next time, God bless.